Welcome to the Ultimate Farm Wife podcast. On this channel, we're going to be discussing all things marrying a farmer, moving to the land, and becoming integrated with a family farming operation. Whether you're moving to the farm for the first time, or whether you're moving back into a family farming operation, we discuss the ins and the outs of all of it. So let's jump into today's episode. Hi, and welcome to the farm. Today we are talking with Prim, and we are talking, so you've married a farmer, now what, and value adding to family farming businesses. Hi, Prim. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. So good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I am so glad that we have finally been able to work out a time to sit down where both families are happy, healthy, and we are both sounding wonderful because we've both been through the hay fever and the end of winter flu season. So I'm really glad that we've been able to catch up.
I know, isn't it funny? Every time you try and organise anything, family and children have a whole nother idea. And currently I'm hiding down in the cottage down from the house while all the kids are sick up at the house because there is no way we could talk for an hour in silence in our house. So I'm hiding in the cottage as we're here.
So Prim, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family and your farm.
Yeah, so I am 38 and I have been married for about, 10 years. And so I live out on my husband's family property. We raise our three children here. They are 10, Doc is 10, Arabella is 8, and Huey is 7. So they've all just started, they're all at school now. It's the busy lifestyle of managing mum and, you know, the farm and school schedules. And yeah, so we've got the feedlot here. So my husband runs the family place. He's got other brothers. They're not on farm anymore. So we've got the feedlot and we background. So we grass feed our cattle going into the feedlot. And then Riley and I also purchased a block a year ago. So I take care of that place. We sell graze and background and fatten there for the feedlot, or we sell elsewhere. And we've also got we had an earth moving business, which Riley would do on the eighth day of each week, but we ended up selling that and investing in a truck and trailers, which is more work than we can fit in, but we're doing it. So we've got the trucking business, which is also grain carting. And then I have my interiors business on the side too. So it's a really, really busy little household out here, but I figure while we've got the energy, why not? And it's a beef cattle place we are. So about 12,000 acres, yeah, near Roma, about an hour east of Rome, Drillum.
Yeah, perfect. Very busy, lots to deep dive into there. But let's take a step back to start with and see, how did you meet your husband?
So Riley and I met when we were in school. It was one of our, we both went to boarding school in Brisbane everyone's probably very familiar with country kids. When there are not a lot of schools available, the parents save and save and save and send us all to the city. So we went to boarding school in Brisbane and we didn't know each other, but we had a mutual best friend. And on one weekend out when we were catching up with our friend, we met over our love of motorbikes. We became really close. So the three of us were best friends all through school. And that was when we were 13. So yeah, and then friends for many, many years. And we didn't actually get together until mid-20s. So there was a good 15-year wait in there until I finally came around this way and actually came out here to do some fencing after many, many years travelling the world and exploring and looking for the next adventure. And I got home to Australia and went, oh, what am I going to do? I took one look at my friends in the city and went, nope, I have no desire to be there. So I wanted to head back out west. And so I rang Riley, because he was running this place here, and I said, oh, have you got a job? He said, yep, you can come out and start fencing. So I came out on a little trip organised to go around Australia, and yeah, 15 years later, I'm still here in Australia. I haven't made it to anywhere around half the places I wanted to go. So yeah, childhood sweetheart.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That is really beautiful. And so your first reaction or your first feelings about being on a farm with Riley, it sounds like there was a honeymoon period where it was like, oh, I might stay, I might go do the rest of this fencing. So tell me about your first impressions.
Yeah, so we grew up out west in between St. George and Dirranbandi on a mixed grazing and cropping place. So, excuse me, I've got three sisters, three of us. And so I grew up on the land and have always wanted to be on the land. I've got a very curious, adventurous nature. So I had always wanted to travel the world, but I knew deep down I would end up back out on the land. And yes, always knew that I'd end up back out on the land. The difference is it's someone else's family and it's someone else's farm. And everything you were always so comfortable with and thinking, well, that's how we did it, you know, maybe that's how they think about it. So different. It was such a mental shock at, you know, incorporating yourself in a whole other family's life with all of their goals, their conditioning, you know, their emotions and, you know, everything that comes with families on the farm. So going into that, while the first bit was absolutely fine because it was all exciting, and then Riley and I fell madly in love and I realised I wasn't going anywhere, that it was that sort of mental and emotional change to go, okay, I've got to wrap my head around this. Yeah, so I think that was the biggest. I knew everything about the land. I'd grown up with the droughts. I understood from a child's perspective the ins and outs of rural life. And Riley and I had a very similar upbringing. So it's probably why we work so well together. We deeply understand each other's backgrounds and lifestyle, and I suppose our values are very similar. We were both raised in really beautiful, supportive families. And that was easy. Being with Riley on the farm, easy. It was like we were always meant to. But when you bring in the family and you are, as the woman moving to the farm, there is that element of understanding. You don't make the decisions, you know. It's like, okay, all right, I've got to learn my place here. And whilst it's lovely to be able to put your ideas forward, it took many, many years to just work out where do you fit, what feels good, where do you feel valued, because it's not that they don't value you. It's just trying to work out in the scheme of things and the business model, if you choose to work on the farm, where is the best place for your skills? And yeah, just wrapping my head around that, it's a whole new ball game when you move on to someone else's family farm.
Yeah, that is such a big change and such a big dynamic. And I really feel that, you know, myself and other members of the community, when we talk about this moving into this family farming dynamic, it can take years to find your place and your role. And that can even adapt throughout the seasons and stage of life, because initially, you know, it was you and Riley, or it was just me and my husband, and then we introduce kids into the mix and that changes the dynamic and the position and what we can do or how we do it as well. And then that's got to pivot against everyone else in the farming business as well. So such a big shift. Did you find there was anything in particular, like a process or something you were able to do to make sure that you were able to find that placement and find that against your values and your skills?
I think it comes down to, like, exactly like you said, you have to remember to stay so open and flexible, really gather the perspective of how everyone else is there on the farm working towards the same goal, but they all have their own way of seeing the world. They all have their own way of hearing and listening and adapting. You know, we've all got our own conditioning, and that's from all the generations, because like many, there's the parents and then there's us. And like you said, you've got the kids coming up, and brothers and sisters have kids coming up. And so I think it's really important that you don't take a lot to heart, because it's actually not, many times it's not actually directed, you know, a lot of those family conversations. Just understanding that it's trying to hear each other and actually listen to the underlying message, rather than grabbing at little emotional things. Or if, you know, you're having a bad day, you'll think, oh, maybe they don't want me here. And it's not that, it's not that at all. They, you know, they want your skills, or they, you know, want your value here. But that absolute sort of communication, the communication is everything, isn't it? And being flexible and watching your roles change as the seasons of life change, especially through motherhood. When I started here, I ended up learning to feed full-time. So I was the full-time feeder at the feedlot, and Riley was all day at work too. So we would be nearly 24 hours together all day, every day, no break. And that actually suits us just fine, because we are best friends to start with. You know, we work really well together. And then me being me, I would get itchy feet and I'd be like, okay, where's my next adventure? So I would often, you know, take off and I'd, you know, end up in India for a month, and then I'd come back and jump back in the feed truck. And luckily Riley, he knows me so well, he never panicked. He just, you know, never cut my wings. Let me do whatever I needed to do, and I would come back to the farm and work where I needed to work. I feel a little bit sorry for the older generation and the people around me, because they would think that that girl cannot stay still for a minute. And we've got a feedlot. I mean, you could not have a more opposite to the gypsy lifestyle and a feedlot. It's, you know, the dairy farm, 365 days a year. We've got to be here and working. And it was so the opposite to my love for the wilder adventurer lifestyle. And then motherhood, you know, you bring motherhood into that, and then you watch your role change again. And that comes with its own frustrations and emotional turmoil and loss of identity. And where do I fit in all this picture when I'm just here, you know, as a milking cow? So, you know, you really do watch your role change within the seasons. But I think that is also the absolute beauty of it. I feel so lucky that we have the lifestyle where you can move in and out and be flexible and, you know, watch the business grow, watch your children grow, watch your husband grow. You know, as a businessman, as a leader, as everything in that realm, I feel so, so lucky that I am a woman on the land.
Absolutely. So many gems of gold that we've just touched on there, Prim. Anything from, you know, not taking something personally into heart, which is really hard to do in a family farming business, because you still do have those emotional attachments. You are all still people and you're all still family. Mm-hmm. But then understanding that, you know, a lot of the decisions are made are business, they're not personal. And that adjustment itself is big. Did you have any advice to give to someone who's moving to the land for the first time, who is finding that maybe just a little bit more difficult to do, or they haven't started building the skill set around adjusting to that?
Yeah, I think probably the one thing that you can practice is listening rather than talking when you want to talk. I blurt out what I have inside me, and often it's purely emotionally driven, or it could be ego driven, or it could be, you know, me just wanting to get the last word in when really I should have just listened and I would have understood far better the conversation three sentences in than what my first, you know, initial reaction was. And I think that's also maturity. You mature in your communication, you know, ability the more you are in uncomfortable situations or just natural life communication, family communication. So it's okay if, you know, you start and you get quite a, it could be a shock, or it could be the older generation has a very different perspective on life and how they would like to live their life, or their rules or their ideas on parenting or grandparenting, you know, whatever it is. I think there's just this moment of grace you can tell yourself before you go out. It's like, this is going to be different and I can't control it all. So do your best at getting very good at listening, but also confident enough to step up and say what you need to say in the right moment. Because I think a lot of time when it comes to communication, I don't want to generalize, but if I may just for a moment, I don't think our parents or grandparents were ever taught the skills we were taught. So you're going into a bit of a lion's den of uncharted territory there, and you don't know. I was lucky that I was really good friends with Riley's parents, so I never had to do the meet the parents. I think we met, you know, at a footy game when I was 13 or 14, and so I feel really lucky that I had such a deep level of love and friendship with Riley's parents, and I still felt it hard at times. So I can only imagine when you don't know what you're walking into, in order to not burn any bridges to start with, because that never helps anyone. It's, you know, you want good relationships with families on the farm. And I think it may take a lot of effort for some, and I know that with friends and some of the clients that I've worked with. It can all come down to how you see and understand and respect each other. Yeah. And so, yeah, my advice there is, if you're a little unsure, just listen and try and gain an understanding of where they're coming from. They will have huge amounts of wisdom and so many nuggets of gold for that particular farm or for that particular house or for those particular seasons. They have been through it, and I think it's great advice to keep open and listen to that, but really step into your confident self and put your ideas forward, or put your perspective forward, or boundaries, and you've got to get good at having those boundaries, especially when it comes to, you know, personal things on the farm, because everyone's in each other's space.
Yep.
So, you know, yeah, I'd say they're pretty good tips just to start with.
Boundaries is definitely one of my favourite topics. They don't have to be the big bad wolf. They could be something as simple as pre-establishing what time are we all getting up tomorrow? What time are we starting work tomorrow? Whether that changes for different parts of the business, or whether that is a standing, you know, point for, you know, the feed run, or mixing the feed for the train of thought has left the station.
I know.
Yeah. For the feed lot. So, you know, they're nice. They don't have to be anything, you know, too big and bold to start with. It could just be as simple as starting with a time. I'd like to take a short break in today's episode to give a special shout out to our episode sponsor, Southern Cross Small Arms, and their incredible Taipan X. The Taipan X redefines excellence in the hunting world and extended rifle range, merging the swift action of a hunting rifle with the precision needed for vermin control. It's truly the pinnacle of the renowned Taipan series evolution.
for our Ultimate Farm Wife community and absolutely fabulous listeners, the Taipan X is a practical choice, offering versatility and reliability in a range of agricultural settings that we'll be using on our farms. For more details, check out our corresponding social media tiles or email me. Thank you, Southern Cross Small Arms and their Taipan X, for coming on as this episode's sponsor. Now let's get back into today's episode.
Something else I also picked up on that I just wanted to touch on slightly, if that was okay with you, is you said you came from a family farm of girls, which is the same as what I have. And Riley is a family of boys, and my husband Ned is a family of boys. So moving into the family, moving into the family farming dynamic of females into a male farming dynamic. How did you find that process? Because you know sometimes there is not an understanding of. And I'm not saying this is for my farm or your farm specifically, but generally, sometimes there is not an understanding of, you know, a female's emotional cycle or those different dynamics, very different raising boys for that older generation than what it is for girls. So on our farm, we were always encouraged to be vocal, always encouraged to have an opinion, always encouraged to communicate and use our words. So did you find a shift in that farming dynamic as well? And if you did, how did you overcome, you know, those communication barriers? Because they can sometimes be there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say I still laugh about it, and we still have a bit of a laugh about it, because my father-in-law, I am comfortable enough that I will sometimes act like his daughter. I will 100% pull him up and say, excuse me, you know, and totally come in with daughter emotion and I'm sorry, but just because you've done it this way, you know, and so, and we're close enough that he can go, oh, Jesus, calm down, you know, well, don't tell me to calm down, you know, and there's this full feminine energy against the masculine energy. And so, and then, you know, the brothers are rolling their eyes and so forth. So, yes, it absolutely is a totally different dynamic, isn't it? And you do grow up, especially with such supportive, wonderful parents, you do grow up with knowing you do have a place in the world. And I know from friendships and experience, not everyone got that. So when you bring that empowered and confident feminine self onto a very masculine dominated farm, it can ruffle feathers, which probably takes me back to what I said before in just be patient and hold out on your place until you learn the dynamics of the new farm or the new family dynamic, because you do have strengths that they don't have. There are skills and tactics and the way you see the world and the way you might see areas of that business model or farm or land or animals. You've got your own set of skills, and if you can bring them forward in a way that is not in a challenging approach, it's in a, hey, this is what I've got to offer. When you're ready, I'd really love to give it a crack. And I hope that they, the other side, would, because you've approached it in a smarter way, I hope that they would say, okay, well, give us your thoughts. And then it only takes a little bit of experience or a little bit of a track record to go, okay, here's an idea, or I can do that. Watch me, and off you go. And then they learn, actually, you know, through real life, they can learn your skills and what you are good at. And so it's okay if they don't get it all at the start. It's not, you know, throw everything out and burn the fire, depending on where you are in your cycle. You do want to do that many times. But, you know, it's like, it's okay. Just be a little bit patient, learn the family, respect respect them for who they are and what's been going on before you arrived, because I do feel that that element of patience and respect will come back and benefit you so much, because it's the foundation of a beautiful relationship, whether it's, you know, within the business or socially. You know, that you all live on the farm. We see each other. They, well, the brothers don't live here on the farm anymore, but, the, you know, my father-in-law's still here. We're very close. So even if, yeah, I think it's just important to understand that you can absolutely be respected for all of your talents and skills, and just go in with a little bit of grace and patience, because you learn pretty quickly. And I've done this. I've got really cranky at times that I felt I haven't been valued. And Riley is good at making me see his, or, you know, the family's perspective better. So that also helps. Having a really good relationship with your husband, because the, you know what the stresses are like, it can, you know, it can send you off into a million different areas you never knew you'd, you know, come back from with a happy face, and turns out you do. Yeah. Many times, all the time.
Yeah, that is so important. So let's jump into something that's probably helped you not get so much itchy feet now that you're a mum, now you're on farm, and now you're wanting to value add to the family farm, and we're going to speak a little bit more about your interior designs. So, I mean, I first saw your videos on Instagram when you were picking, you know, flowers and wattle and things out of the garden, out of the farm, and bringing them into the household. So tell us, why did you start your business? How did you start your business? And more about it.
Yeah, I started, the beginning of my interiors business was very organic, and I have a style that it's very homely, very comfortable, collected, and I have a good eye for design. The house that I grew up in was, you know, a nice, normal country house out on the property. And we had, you know, a nice big garden that Mum would spend most of her time in. But the inside of the house was really eclectic and really exotic, and we didn't have a TV, so all the walls were just lined with books and encyclopedias, and you know, we read, Dad or Mum would read to us every single night. So it was a really beautiful, beautiful, loving family home that we grew up in. And my parents traveled the world a lot, you know, when Mum was young, and she would barefoot backpack around the world, and Dad and her would go traveling when we were young, and so we would forever have people from around the world just turning up on the dusty doorstep out of St. George. And it would be family, friends that they'd met, you know, on the ski fields in Argentina, or it was Mum had picked up some, you know, Mexican backpacker at Mooney, and all of a sudden they're in the house and they're working on the farm for 3 months and off they go. So we were raised with such a adventurous spirit, and the world is out there. Even though we were in the middle of nowhere and, you know, drought, our house was filled with so many fabulous stories and memories and, you know, art and Persian rugs. And so we were always really inquisitive. And growing up like that, I think, aids in your natural creative ability, because it's you nearly absorb it. It's not something that we really had to learn, the way we see space and how it can be changed. And Mum's got a magnificent eye for design and things like that, but just very natural, very, very intuitive, very organic perspective. So naturally, my house is full of everything from around the world. And I traveled for years and years on my own and hitchhiking through Turkey and, you know, all through Iceland and Scandinavia, and I would end up in countries for months just working to make my way around. And I now am out in the middle of nowhere in a nice, typical country house, and its walls are adorned with all my memories and things like that. So when people come, I think they love the feeling that it is me and it is us, and there's this big warm hug of individuality, right? It's just us. And so then people started to ask, can I help them with their house, or what would you do here? And I think perhaps I could see their space better than maybe they could, but I could also bring out their style in their home. And so after a few houses, and then I got some big jobs, and then I went and studied. When I had my second child, I couldn't sit still breastfeeding all the time. So I'd be breastfeeding whilst driving the tractor. I'd be breastfeeding while mustering. Then, you know, you've got to be inside and breastfeed at 3 a.m. So I started to study design and decoration. So I did that study and went, okay, well, I'll have a bit of a crack at it, because I don't think there's a lot of support out west. You know, you move off those metropolitan areas and there really wasn't a lot of people supporting everyone out west in their homes. And we've got tough homes to work with, you know, the farm budgets and the homes. But I still feel that's no reason not to surround yourself with things you love that make you feel amazing. Because I feel that out here, we only have our house and our family. And once you, it can be very lonesome. So my way of thinking is, why not make that the best you can absolutely make it, so you're living in amongst some form of beauty, or it might be joy, or one client might need, they just need to learn how to connect better, or it could be safety and security. Again, everyone is coming into that household with their own conditioning and you know, the way they've grown up, and they're trying to make their life, they're trying to design for the future. So I would naturally just, yeah, help them do that in a creative sense, because I think home's so much more than just a, you know, pretty style coffee table. It has to go on so many more deeper levels. And so, yeah, the business just grew from that. And I did learn very quickly, though, that throwing another business into the mix was insanity. And I vowed I'd never do my midnights again. And I am back there actually right now, because I've pivoted again, and now I'm turning it more online, because I found it so difficult with the kids' schedules and the farm and the trucking and everything. I had to get really smart with how I delivered my teaching. And so now I'm in the process of building an online course, so anyone from anywhere can come and we'll get together, and I'll take them through the course of what I used to do with my clients. And I think that's one way I can still be of help and make an impact and help improve everyone's lives. But I now have to do it in a much smarter way.
Yeah, absolutely understand that, because it is a lot to fit into the day and night.
Yeah,
absolutely. So what is some of your favourite tips that you do love to give clients? Say you have someone who has moved to the farm for the first time, or back into a family farming environment, and they are trying to make their space themselves, mm-hmm. for themselves, comfortable, relaxed, practical, whatever it is that they're seeking. What are your top tips for those?
Yeah. So my first one would be, when you're moving out and you are presented with that magnificent $1 million home, not, it would serve you well to just take a moment, take a breath, accept where you're at right now, get to learn the space first. So I often say to clients when they come and they've got all these ideas, and I just say, let's follow the sun, follow the shade, work out your little spots that are going to work with the natural elements of how that house is positioned. We all know none of our houses were architect, well, maybe some are, not many are architecturally designed with certain, you know, environmental factors. Most of our west, you know, is either the back of the house or the laundry or something, and most face east and north. But I always get them to just gather some experience living in the space first, jot things down. Where do you find you're gravitating to naturally in summer? You're always probably going to have a little shady spot that makes you feel good, or it's just a comfortable spot. Note that spot. That's somewhere where you actually want to capitalize on when you are ready to either put some money in or you have the time. In winter, you will probably find that there's a certain sunny spot on the mornings. Maybe that's where you'd like to go have your morning coffee or tea. Make sure you note those areas, because before you get there, the people living in that house may, well, A, don't see the world like you see it, and B, may never have really thought about the foundational level of that sort of energetic response that you can get from a home. So follow the sun, follow the shade, mark your little spots that you naturally gravitate towards, because that's where you will first, I suggest, you first want to start putting some time and effort into, because you're going to get so much bang for your buck there. And even if it's, even if you don't have any money, it is not on the farm budget and it's not in your budget. Simple as dragging a really comfy chair over to that warm winter spot on the veranda and just making sure that you've either got a comfy chair there and a little side table, maybe it's some fresh flowers if you're having a really bad day or a bad week. Just try and focus on little tiny, like simple but significant, I call them, simple but significant moments, because they can make such an impact in the day, for your day. I would also suggest getting a feel for the rooms and the house and working out what it is that you need to feel from that space in order for it to be a success. So rather than grabbing the rug and the sofa and the couch and the lamp from the store when you're in the city in one big shop, putting it in the space, a lot of my clients say, it's not working. It didn't work. Why didn't it work? It looked so good in the shop. And it's because that shop is designed for everything to work together. And there's this whole, you know, inspiration of elements working together. That's not reality when we bring it back to our spaces. So, you know, the bedroom, you might find that you are very much someone who needs to feel safe and secure. You like blinds on the windows, you like the door in the furthest corner. Maybe you're someone who really needs to feel open and never enclosed, and big, beautiful, wide windows. And so working out what you need from each area in your home, then you can work on visuals. But there's no point making a very big, open, planned living when you're actually someone who loves to be in nooks, and you're always finding that you're, you know, wrapping yourself in a blanket and finding a cozy chair. Just because the rest of the world's doing open plan, I'm not sure you should be doing open plan. You know what I mean? So it's like getting that real intuitive element first, then work on your visuals. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also understanding why the people before you did some things, often there's a reason for it. Again, going back to the patience, living there, experiencing it before you start putting your mark. Often, and I always say, like, if you can do four seasons in the home before, I've done 5 years. I had the grandest plans 1 month in. I was like, right, let's go. 5 years in, not a thing has been touched. I do what I say, not what I do, because time has not allowed for me to work on the house yet. I've been in the garden nonstop and working. But there are some areas that my mother-in-law would have things, or certain, you know, windows, or there'd be something odd. I'm like, why did she do that? Now, a couple of years in, I'm like, I know exactly why she did it. Thank God I didn't move it or take that wall out, or, you know, do something, because that's where that experience can save you so much money.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, being, having the confidence to, talking about relationships, having that conversation, depending on how your farm and business model is set up, it can be a really big thing to come in and move things around an original family home, because sometimes, you know, the older generation, they're very, very connected to it, and it's on a huge emotional response. So I think a lot of tact and grace and patience there in opening up those conversations. I think that really will serve people well, rather than coming in wanting to change everything straight away with no regard. Yes, absolutely, still put your idea forward. It is your life from now on. You are building a life there. Houses, you know, they maneuver, they come and they go, and the family's energies comes and goes. And every mother and father-in-law want to see, I truly believe they all want to see a beautiful home made, but sometimes having their ideas ripped out in front of them can be a little bit shocking. So I always suggest with my clients, just start the conversation, know that that was their blood, sweat and tears, and there are ways we can go about this that doesn't necessarily need to, upset or, hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is an absolute gem that you've brought up there. It hasn't previously been mentioned on the podcast before, but it is definitely another gem that we don't necessarily think of when we move to the farm for the first time. And that is, if we are moving into a pre-existing dwelling or house or the main homestead, that's 100% right. Every generation has had their touch on it, and everyone has done something for a particular reason. And it's definitely something that not a lot of us put a lot of thought into initially, those emotional connections to that house. Yeah. And while it is our space and while we need to make it our own, that slower transition can benefit everyone in the long run, rather than things being changed all at once or in quick succession. Definitely that communication and family farming dynamic can definitely be smoothed out by that slower progression. So thank you so much for raising that as well.
Yeah, no, it's just one of those things. I think it's being thoughtful and learning to be patient. I am not a very patient person, so I have really had to learn to just be okay. And, you know, it's my job to make things better. It's my job to bring out the best of a home. But I have had to learn to just really wait and find the right moment. But then I've also had to learn that after thinking, I can't do anything. Well, yes, I can. So come on now. Time to move forward now. So, your own emotions ebb and flow too, but keeping that communication open. And you'll find that one of the mother or the father, they'll probably have very opposing thoughts too. One can't wait for you to start making it your home. And the other is like, don't touch that though. I built that with my bare hands. Why would you want to do that? And it's just all part of the process. I think it's just the conversations and communications. You can absolutely make it your own. I think it's just how you go about it. And we all know farm budgets. You've got one great plan 1 year. Well, that went straight out the door, didn't it? And the crop didn't come off, or the cattle prices halve and interest rates double. It's all part of it. So making the most out of those tiny little moments you spend the most time in is gold. We don't live these reality TV lives where, in a 60-minute episode, you've had a huge million-dollar house transformation. It's not. It's really loving and learning to love those sweet little gold moments in the home that you've got, because I think it sets you up for a much more positive environment to begin creating from.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely love that. Thank you so much for all of your time today, for coming on the podcast, talking about the family farming business, how you met and married Riley, and right into your value adding with through the interior design and its natural flow and fit for you, your family and your farm. So thank you so much, Prim. Where can we find you, and where can people find some more designs and inspiration from you?
Oh, thank you so much. So I am over on Instagram at primrose_interiors. I probably at this stage, whilst I'm building out the new business, Instagram. I am on Facebook, not very good at keeping up with Facebook. And my website, which is currently getting reworked, but maybe by the time we air, I might have actually finished that. So that's primroseinteriors.com.au. And I've got some really great I've got a free guide coming out soon. And so I just encourage anyone to just reach out on Instagram. I'm always in my DMs and download the free guide. And yeah, just keep in touch. Awesome.
Perfect. Absolutely love that. For everyone who has been listening along with us today, whether you are listening on any main platform streaming podcast format or whether you're joining us on the YouTube channel for the video podcast, thank you so much for being here. If there is a particular point that has jumped out at you during today's discussions, jump on the socials either on Facebook or Instagram and make sure you engage with us there as well. Before we wrap up today's episode, I want to give a big thank you to our sponsor, Southern Cross Small Arms, and their exceptional Taipan X. This rifle is a game changer for pest control and wildlife management, offering precision and versatility that makes it suitable for both female and male listeners. If you're interested in learning more about the Taipan X, head over to our social media tiles dedicated to it or visit the Southern Cross Small Arms website. Thank you very much, Southern Cross Small Arms, for your support. And again, thank you everybody for listening to another episode. We'll see you next time.